It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 156 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. I'm so glad you're listening. First thing, it's good to be back with MajorSpoilers.com up and running again after somewhat of a two-week delay. Sometimes real life gets in the way of comics, and that happened here at the website, so things are pretty much back to normal, so we can expect things to come out on a regular basis from here on out. This week's interview is the return of Alex Lobato, one of the driving forces behind Max Hunter, Snowfall. And he has a second Kickstarter in the process, and I'll give you an update after the interview has concluded. We talk about the character and about the book and what it's like doing a Kickstarter campaign, among other things. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
Dirtbags crowd our streets. My job? Round these punks up. Collect their bounties.
I want to welcome back to the podcast Alexander Lobato, the president of Darkside Global and the writer of the Max Hunter series of comics. How are you doing today, Alex?
I'm doing great, Wayne. Thanks a lot. How are you doing?
Good. Good to talk with you again. Why don't we get right to the meat of what's going on? You guys are in the middle of a second Kickstarter campaign and doing pretty well from what I see. There's no way to know exactly because of situation that major spoilers what's going on, when this is going to air, but it's looking pretty promising that you guys are going to complete your second Kickstarter project here.
Yeah, man, we're really excited. We had a lot of exciting plans for this next Max Hunter 2 and Max Hunter 3 and for this upcoming year. So we wanted to do a big Kickstarter to launch this project and to really make it to some of the good conventions this year. And yeah, we're almost there. We're 211 away from our goal with 11 days left, and we're really, really excited.
Yeah, and it might be different by the time this gets to air. But given that you very likely might meet your goal, do you have stretch goals in mind?
Oh, we got so many stretch goals in mind. When hopefully we reach our first stretch goal, which would be the 3,000 mark, we're going to be giving away exclusive metal cards, metal printed cards of each of the characters, Max, Snow, and Max's partner, Keys. Mm-hmm. And then we have the 4,000 mark. The Darkside Global itself would be going out and celebrating if we reach that one. Mm-hmm. But we'll be giving everybody that backs us $50 or more exclusive concept arts from our artists. Mm-hmm. And we have some other things in mind, too, that we've been planning out. We just haven't gotten them confirmed yet. But there's some real exciting things. This year, we wanted to work with a lot of different people to really not just promote us, but promote multiple indie comics here in Miami and local. So we're working together like a united force to try to get real nice rewards out there for everybody and to also promote each other to help each other out.
Because I noticed on your Kickstarter page, you had Think Like Productions out there and some other folks that are the Florida folks. So I thought that was a good idea to have all you guys working together.
Yeah, one of our packages is called the Miami Comics Package, where we're offering Think Alike Productions, the Agency comic book, along with Maelstrom Comics, The Jungle Warrior. And these guys are great, man. Think Alike Productions, that whole crew, they're super nice people. And they're also local here in Miami. And Maelstrom, Marcelo Bravo, super nice guy too, also local here in Miami. And it was something that they said, yeah, sure, let's do it. And when Marcelo himself had launched a Kickstarter recently too, Jungle Warrior, you should check it out. He also has been doing cross promotions and backings as well for us. So we've just been helping each other out. It's really cool.
That's great. Now, of course, here's hoping that you'll get to all those good things and we get to see more of Max Hunter because it's really good stuff. It's a good quality comic. And the great thing is you guys are basically starting from the ground up. You, as I understand it, and I remember you guys created Darkside Global as an attempt to tell comics that you thought might not be told by the major companies.
Right. We've created a story arc with so many different characters and concepts that we hope to come out soon, but, you know, little by little, step by step. Max Hunter is the first of many, and we're hoping, you know, with the success of Max Hunter will come other characters, and we visit other parts of the world as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, for those people who may not have listened to your previous interview, why don't you give a little bit of background as to who Max Hunter is and what the series is about?
Yeah, of course. Max Hunter is a cybernetic bounty hunter who's going after his latest bounty when an assassin, Vincent Snow, gets in the way and they're chasing down the same hit. They start a rivalry together. It takes place in Gateway City, 2077 in the future. And it's interesting because the city itself is going to grow as the comic Max Hunter grows and as the characters grow as well. So in the first comic, we start this rivalry. They face each other for the first time. Max decides that Snow needs to be stopped. He's a cold-blooded killer and needs to be stopped. But in part two, we actually visit Snow a little and see his background and where he's coming from and how he developed to be who he is, along with more of Max's origins and how he ended up with his cybernetic parts. So we get to see a lot of growth through visiting the past of these characters in issue two.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks really good. The cover of issue one kind of fascinates me. We see mostly Max standing towards us and Snow is standing behind him looking away. On the cover of issue two, it's a very different look. You know, it looks like things aren't going well for Max Hunter as we see Snow standing over him with a bloody sword.
Yeah, it does take a turn for the worse for Max Hunter towards the end of issue two. And Snow gets, you know, but it is a trilogy. It is a three-part. So we will see if Max Hunter can overcome whatever happens to him in part two and recover from his injuries.
Okay. Well, the interesting thing, of course, the series is called Snowfall.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of figure that Mr. Snow is going to get his comeuppance here before too very long, we hope.
Yes. Part three will be the conclusion of everything. What we hope is that we could just tell a story in one trade paperback. So when we have part three released, we'll put it in a trade paperback form and get it to people's hands and stores, like, you know, hopefully Barnes and Noble and more, you know, stores where they're more nationwide and everybody can get their hands on it and just read the whole story in one book.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why good trades do that. You know, you get the whole complete story in a nice trade, so that'll work out real nicely. As far as people who want to get a hold of Max Hunter, you're in comic stores, but mostly in Florida?
Yeah, I think last time we spoke, we weren't on Comixology yet, but now we mm-hmm. are.
Good.
So in Florida, you could get the physical copy by going to a lot of the local comic book stores. We have some other stores that we've been putting our comic books in South Florida, not just Miami, but Broward and going a little more north as well. But because we're on Comixology, you could pick up the comic book for $1 at Comixology digitally. And if you wanted to get it in your hands and you're not in Florida or the United States, you could order it from our website. You could go on our website and we have an e-commerce page where you can order your Max Hunter copies.
Now, what's the website address?
Oh, the website is www.darksideglobal.com.
Okay, so people can get there by that. I want to get all this information out. Sometimes I wait too late in the interview and ask for those things to kind of late. So I thought this time let's get all those things taken care of at the beginning, and then we'll talk some more about some stuff. Speaking of which, there is an interesting thing that's being said on your Kickstarter program on the page. It says that Snow is a product of violence while Max is a victim of circumstance. And that's going to be quite an interesting thing because you sent me three pages and I was reading them over and I noticed some similarities and some differences between the two characters, at least in their origins.
Right.
I noticed that, you know, both of them have, as always say, parent issues.
Yeah.
And both of them are interested in heroes as they're growing up. But things change for Snow as compared to Max. And it looks like you're going to get to explore those things in your second issue.
In the second issue, we see Snow's beginnings. Mm-hmm. See more of, again, how Max became the cybernetic parts and such. So we'll see what happened to him. And then in the third issue, we'll revisit a little more of the path that Snow took as opposed to the path that Max took.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Snow's character, his origins is pretty brutal, pretty violent.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't want to spoil anything here either, but as they grow up, they both face tragedy. And it's tough for them, and apparently Snow responds to tragedy differently than Max does. And, you know, as we grow up and as we see, you know, people all around and we see the same thing happening to different people, they react very differently. You know, the old nature and nurture thing going on. Was this kind of the idea you had behind this story? Was this to show how people develop differently under the same circumstances?
Well, their circumstances are a tad different, but yeah, similar circumstances, but two different paths taken from that. One a hero, one a villain. That's to show people that there's no one event that makes you who you are. There's going to be choices that you have to make in your life, and those choices will lead you to become either a good man or a bad man. And that's what happens to Max and Snow through this series.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an interesting contrast because, you know, as we grow up, and even, you know, because I'm one of a pair of twins, and the two of us are not the same. And if we two started out the same person are not exactly the same, how are two people who are growing up in different circumstances with similar events happening to them going to respond? And that's going to be an interesting thing to study in your book as you go forward.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very well done. One thing, too, I noticed, and I got, as I mentioned, I got to read three of the pages. The artwork is definitely getting better, too. And I thought the artwork was really good in the first issue, but it's even stronger in the three pages that you sent me about the second issue. So that's definitely going to improve, too. If people thought the first issue was good and wanted to see it get better, it does get better in the second issue.
The first issue, I wrote it searching for the artist to fit the comic book. So it was very simple. I didn't demand a lot from the artist. Mm-hmm. The second issue, Pierre Dedalus is the artist for comic book. He did such a great job, I thought, with the way he translated my script visually into the comic book. He did such a great job that I pushed his boundaries a little more in the second one. I said, you know what, let's see if you can do this and let's see if you can do that, because this will be really cool for the reader. And mm-hmm. He did. He stepped it up, and he's done a great job with the second book as well. There's one particular dream sequence in the book. I'll send you the page so you can see visually what I'm talking about, Wayne. But in the book, there's one particular dream sequence that Max faces, and it is drawn freaky, and it is really cool. It's different from the rest of the book, and I loved it. I thought, man, PR, you got a crazy imagination. I like it a lot, you know?
How did you come across PR anyway in order to start working on the book?
At first, we had a couple of different artists. Carlos Hernandez had his hand in the book, and then there was a great artist called Matthew Sutton. But he's also going to be helping us out with some of these stretch goals as well. But he just couldn't complete the Max Hunter series. He's a very busy person. So I was desperate looking for an artist, so I kept searching, and I found DeviantArt and all these other sites, and I found one particular site called Arts by Commission, and it had PR Dedalus as one of the artists, and he had some beautiful colors. So I had contacted him originally to see if he will color our book, but I ended up loving the way that he penciled and inked everything too. So I'm like, hey, you know what? You're the one. You're the one that works out.
Great. Now, I'm just kind of curious because now issue one has been out for a while. What's been the response that you've been getting to issue one?
Man, so far we've been getting a really good response. Mm-hmm. We've been getting people anxious and anticipating issue two. It has taken us a while because we're just starting, so it's very hard to come out with these comic books. Mm-hmm. But so far, so good. So far, we've had a lot of different kinds of people read it and give us positive reviews and that they liked it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good because, you know, when you start off and your very first book comes out, you know, you struggle to get attention, you know, number one. And then number two, you know, you struggle to get good reviews because oftentimes when people look at you, they're going to invariably compare you like to Marvel or DC. And if you don't hold up in their minds, well, then you're going to hurt as a result of that. But I think that you've gotten a lot of the reviews that I've seen, and you've gotten really good ones. So, you know, you guys are hitting the ground running, it seems like.
Yeah, it's been going really well. We're really blessed to have the fans that we have. And we've gone to a lot of different conventions this past year, and getting the book in people's hands has been the hardest part. But we're getting it, and we're getting there. And the response when people read it, you know, they just want more. And it shows in our second Kickstarter, actually, because we're noticing that we have a lot of the same backers that we had last time. And we wanted to do something different in our Kickstarter this time around. And we wanted to try to get an audience outside of the backers that we had last time. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that they're back and they're backing us, and they really want part two to come out. And it's been really good. We've had a lot of support out there, and we're blessed to have all those wonderful fans.
Well, word of mouth is a great way to do it. You know, everybody always thinks that online stuff is good, but when people can actually physically tell other people what a great book is, and, you know, I've pointed out to several people how great the book is and how enjoyable the comic is and how it varies from the other books that we've seen, like from Marvel or DC or even Image.
And I think that that's a good thing for your comic. I think that as the word of mouth continues to grow, you're going to not only keep the people you have, but you're going to add people to it. I think that that's what you guys are going to see moving forward.
We hope so. We're going to try to get that word of mouth outside of Florida. It's been tough because of expenses and such, but this Kickstarter is simply for that, so we can get out there and visit other states and visit other comic book stores and go to other conventions. Our big plan, our hope, and what we're wishing and praying for is that we are able to make it to C2E2 in Chicago and New York Comic Con this upcoming convention season.
Mm-hmm. Well, New York Comic Con now is the biggest comics convention in the country.
Yeah.
You know, C2E2 is great, but, you know, from my understanding is if you really want to get attention, go to New York. San Diego is a wonderful comic convention, but the bad news is that they're constrained by space.
Right, right.
So they can't get all the people in there that they want, and so New York doesn't seem to have that problem. They can pretty much take as many as they want in there, and so I would recommend if you have a choice, C2E2 is great, but think about New York, because New York is where you really get to meet a lot of people and do a lot of glad handing and things like that.
I think I like went to the last New York Comic Con, and they took one of our Dark Side Globalites, Juan Chao, our president of marketing, and he had a wonderful experience. Also, our artist Hector went as well, and they both had great experience there. And yeah, we definitely want to be there. There's a lot of good vibes, a lot of positive people, and people looking for this kind of stuff, this kind of indie comic and something new and something to get into. So we hope so. We hope we get there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to get back to the book for a little bit here, because one of the things that you've always mentioned was that Gateway City is a place in which the universe of Dark Side Global is going to take place. And Max Hunter takes place a lot in there. You mentioned the last time there was some sort of a religious character that was going to show up in all these things that we were going to see more of. As far as like Gateway City goes, you've got other books obviously in the works. What kind of plans do you have for the city, and what kind of things could fans really look forward to as far as that goes?
Now, it really just depends on how well the Max Hunter does, if we are able to financially afford the capability of expanding to different characters and different things in Gateway City. But we have a lot in store for Gateway City. We see in Max Hunter 2, I would say the main character, the heart of Gateway City, and that's Jeremiah Krupp. We see him just a little bit in that dream sequence of Max. He's the one who built the city from the ground up. There's a lot of really incredible and mysterious things about that character, and we have a lot of stories that are going to involve him as well. We just hope that we could get them out, you know? We really hope we could get them out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've noticed, like, in, for example, in Batman, they have now been exploring the history of, say, Gotham City, and, you know, like, for example, this Batman Eternal, this weekly series they've been doing, they've been going in different parts of Gotham City, and I kind of had to think about what you guys are doing with Gateway City, if you guys have planned out, like, what happens in different parts of the cities and what you might have take place out there. Have you considered doing those kinds of things for Gateway City?
Yeah, the plan was, well, Max Hunter is in the slums of Gateway City. He's in the rails. That's what, you know, that's the lower end of Gateway City, taking care of the people that really can't take care for themselves. And the other characters, like there's one character, well, Jeremiah Krupp, and his he lives in the heart of the city, the Times Square, I guess you would call it, of the city, where we have a space elevator building going all the way to space. Something's going on up there. And we have a story that takes place in that area as well. And then if you look in our first comic book, we have a map of Gateway City that Moldo drew up. We have the whole city laid out. We talked, like, before we even came out with Max Hunter, we just talked about the city, the places of the city that we wanted to explore, that we wanted to visit, and we wanted to put importance into, because the city has to be a character in itself and has to grow as well. And the reader has to get to know the city little by little. As we go along.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great city. You've got great plans. And I enjoyed the map of it, too, because it has a very realistic feel to it. You know, sometimes in comics, cities are these sort of fantastical places. But you've actually got it well-grounded in reality, and I think that's a good thing.
We have a story in mind. I don't want to say too much about it, because I'm really, really hoping that this is the next story we're going to get out. But it starts in Gateway City, but it goes back billions of years ago to before humankind and a different race, though, you know, and then the people of that race, how they relate and how it comes back and ties into Gateway City now. And we're really looking forward to writing that whole thing out. But yeah, everything we do is we're trying our best to ground it as much as possible. You know, right now we don't have any super powered beings in our Gateway City, in our comic book. Mm-hmm. But we want to introduce them. But we want a catalyst event that the readers will get to be there when it first happens, when these heroes and villains get these powers and the world changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're picking a pretty good time to do it because, like on the CW, The Flash has come on and it's really hit. And you know, in the past, people with powers were always poo-pooed, but now people are actually watching The Flash with a lot of enjoyment, and that opens the door for you guys to introduce superheroes as well.
Yeah, man, I gotta say the CW has done a great job with Arrow and with Flash. They were smart to get Geoff Johns there and make sure that everything's, very connected and very together. That show, both those shows are just amazing. I'm loving it. I'm having a lot of fun watching those shows.
Mm-hmm. It always makes me wonder because, your comics are that kind of level where you could actually have like a show or some kind of a film or something based on what's going on in Gateway City and with Max Hunter and stuff. Have you guys considered any of that or thought about any of those kinds of things happening?
I mean, every time we have a meeting, I think we start our meeting with wishing that happens. we hope that we, meet somebody that feels the same way you do, Wayne, and signs us up for a movie or a TV show, because that's just the medium that gets out there more, I mean? I loved reading The Walking Dead. That was one of my favorite comic books, reading them. And then when that show came up, just the fan base has grown exponentially and gotten the attention that it really deserves. So that's what we're hoping. We're hoping that we build the fan base little by little, that people like our stories, and then it gets picked up, hopefully, and hopefully it does good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've built a good world into which to do all these things. And the one thing I do like about it, though, is that, of course, your name of the company is Darkseid Global. And this is a much darker kind of story and kind of storytelling, which, honestly, in comics, we're ready for those kinds of things. We have gone through the era of the 60s and the 70s where things were pretty light. And then now we've gotten into a more darker feel. And I think that we're ready for it. And I think that's why I think that Max Hunter is a good place for those people who enjoy a little darker storytelling and are interested to see, the people who aren't millionaires and people who aren't like Clark Kent working at a major metropolitan newspaper who is so moral. We've got to see people with shades of gray. And I think that your books are something, if people want to explore that kind of thing, especially like in television or movies, it would be a great place to go.
Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, we like to live in that gray. That's where most of us are. Most of us aren't cut, dry, good and bad. We're human and we make mistakes and we're not all rich and we're not all poor. We live in the shades of gray and, it'll be fantastical. It'll be science fiction and action and things that won't happen in the norm, but you'll relate because, Max Hunter's an accountant, and he, and this, happened to him and he became something else, So that's what I'm hoping for, to touch base with the reader and have them go on an adventure.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you're doing a good job of that. I think that the books are really fulfilling in that. I do have to say, we talked a little bit last time about Max Hunter, and I love the fact that he's an accountant. He's, 6'6", is his height?
Yeah, he's a really big guy. The whole concept behind him is just he's too big for normal life, And see that actually more in part two. I talked to me and PR were talking and I go to him, these scenes where you see him as an accountant in some of these scenes, he's just got his suit can't fit him, mm-hmm, he's typing on a keyboard and his fingers are just too big and he's drinking a gallon of water. This is what we want to portray, that he's just a big, big guy, uncomfortable with his life because he's just too big for it. And when this happens, he starts to fit in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good because, there are a lot of folks, and let's face it, real life and real living can be dull and boring sometimes, and especially if you're like him with talents that can be utilized in other areas, I'm sure that he feels really underutilized as an accountant, even though he's probably very good at it.
Yeah. We find out, in the comic book, he took the profession of accounting just to honor his father, who was also an accountant, who we find out in the first issue had a tragedy befall on him. So we see that he was kind of forced into it in a way because of that, because he wanted to honor, what his father did in the past.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you two more questions, and then we'll come to a close here. But I'm fascinated by the designs of the character, particularly Snow and Max, because Snow is kind of this white and black character with a mask, while Max has more of a like a cowboy almost feel to him. You know, they couldn't be much more different. And I was just kind of curious, when you came together and decided on what you were going to do with the characters, was it intentional to make them kind of opposites?
No. I want to say yes, but...
Okay.
The character concept, I talked about this in the last interview, but I'll say a little bit again. Max Hunter was originally a character I created for a role-playing game called Shadowrun, where he was an orc with a big battle axe. Carlos Hernandez, a friend of mine, I asked him to draw that character for me if he could for the role-playing game, and he drew him like a cowboy, and I'm like, you know what, that looks a lot cooler, you know? And that's how the cowboy design came about. The cybernetic parts were always part of the character as well. And then Snow, Carlos had drawn originally like an Indian, but then I was like, man, cowboy Indian, I'm not sure, you know? And then I wanted more of a sleek assassin look, but I've always liked that his face is painted. So other people designed him other ways, and then I saw PR's design of him, and I'm like, this is it. This is what I like. This is what I want. He did a great job. Love the black jacket and the black pants and two guns. And we see him pick up the sword now, too, as well.
There's an illustration on the Kickstarter site that talks about that. Now, one last thing. I'm fascinated that you guys are picking up on this Funko Pop business that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Because out of nowhere came these little figures, you know, and I can't imagine there's a single figure that has not been made, except that you guys, your figures have not been made, but except for now during the Kickstarter campaign, you have had somebody create Pop figures based on your characters. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how you guys came to that way to do that? How did it come to be?
Man, I love Pop figures. I mean, if we had the camera on, you'd see that this whole office that I'm in is full of Pop figures. They're fun to collect. They're cute and they're cool. So last Kickstarter, we did have a bump in the road. It was unfortunate. We promised some of our backers statues, but we found it almost impossible for us to create them. One of the persons that had promised to create them couldn't pull through for various reasons. So we're looking for an alternative. What can we do, you know, as a company to make up for these statues that we failed in? And I was at Tate's Comic Books the other day, and I see blank Funko Pops, like white Funko Pops. And I call up the guys and I go, hey, do we know someone that can maybe paint these and do a good job and make these look like Max and Snow? And Mo Dominguez's brother, Jose Dominguez, jumped on board. He said, I could do it. He used to paint miniatures for D&D also.
Wow.
So he's got the hand for it and the equipment as well. So he took them on and he drew them and did them relatively fast and gave it back to us. And man, it looks like Snow and Max. He did such a great job. We were so happy. We were like, yes, we succeeded. Where we failed. The limited edition of those. You could get them. We're coming out with 3 Maxes, 3 Snows, in addition to the other ones that we're going to give to the Kickstarters that had gotten the statues before. So there's only going to be a few available, and the only place you're going to be able to get them is in the Kickstarter for the reward that they're under. If the Kickstarter's still around when your listeners hear this, I suggest you get them because they're going to be super exclusive. There's not going to be another one made after that. And if we do make more, there'll be different characters or different variations of those Pop figures.
Now, if you want to get those characters, how do you do that? What do you have to do in order to be able to receive those characters?
Well, if you go on our Kickstarter campaign, you just go on www.kickstarter.com and in the search bar put Max Hunter 2, and you'll see a whole bunch of really cool rewards. We have one reward that's a fan art. Someone made a fan art of Max Hunter and sent it to us, Shirley S. We loved it so much, we asked her if we could offer it as a reward, and she said, yeah, that she would love for that. So we did it. We have many other different rewards, like the comics from other companies that we mentioned before, these Pop figures. All you would have to do is just go on there, donate, pick an amount, and if that amount matches a reward set, then you click on the reward set and get that. And the way we do it is that if you donate, let's say $5, you get the digital comic book, and then if you donate $10, you'll get the comic book and the digital comic book, and so on and so forth. So as you donate more, you get all the prizes from before and some of the new prizes as well.
Very good. Well, it's pretty creative to come up with those Funko Pop things on your own because, you know, everybody's waiting for the Pop to do it themselves, but you guys have gotten ahead of them. And I also saw those, the blank ones. And I just thought, you know, as the same as you, I thought, wow, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities with those blank ones. You could make your own.
Yeah.
Those things. So that's pretty darn cool. I thought that was a wonderful thing. That's a great way to kind of appeal to the fans, especially with the popularity right now, particularly of the Funko Pop. So I thought that was a great thing.
I think we should make a Wayne Funko Pop. What do you say?
Yeah. No. Wouldn't waste the figure. There are better things to do with.
We'll make two suits. You got twins. We'll make two.
Yeah, well, they'll be exactly the same, except one of us wears a beard and the other one does not. So we'll have to – we'll do them that way. But, well, that's great. So I hope that the Kickstarter program concludes very successfully. And right now it looks excellent that your chances are going to be that it'll turn out real well and that the stretch goals will be great fun and people will want to support that and keep the Max Hunter things going for quite a long time to come.
Thank you, Wayne. We really appreciate it, man. Thank you again for having us here on your show. And we hope we really do get funded so that we could come back on and talk about Max Hunter 3.
Oh, that would be great. We'll look forward to that.
Thank you, Wayne.
And here's a quick update since this interview was recorded. Max Hunter 2 Snowfall Part 2 has met its goal of $2,000 and has actually exceeded that by some. And when you're listening to this podcast as of Sunday, you will still have until Tuesday, December 16th at 10:09 p.m. Eastern Time to participate, and I encourage you to do so. Go to Kickstarter and look under Max Hunter 2. And there's a stretch goal that's been added. If they hit $3,000 for sketch cards by Omar Angulo, and you can check out his stuff at omarangulo.net. So we will see Max Hunter 2 happily, and we look forward to seeing more in the future.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And that's it for this episode. Be back next week when I'll have another great interview with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.